Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
I messed up. I promised I'd do this at 7:55, and this is fooling, right? This is fooling? They did this in concert, Def Leppard did. They were so good.
I would hope so.
I saw him at Fenway. I saw them at Fenway Park. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see Def Leppard and Motley Crue Saturday, August 6th at Fenway. Thanks to Live Nation. Get your tickets now at RedSox.com. Caller number 10, 617-931-0985. I was supposed to do this at 7:55, and when I
Well, the show's been 3 years in the making anyway, so.
Dan came running in here and said...
Dan doesn't run.
Oh, Dan kind of ambled in here and said, nice job, A-hole, you messed up again.
Wow, so, really?
Yeah.
So I just kind of turned my palms up and said, hey, you know, contest at 7:55.
Nice.
Just kind of...
It was the way you did it.
Keep your appointments.
You see, that's the other thing. When you work with Dan long enough, he doesn't stand on ceremony when you work with him long enough. And I know you were, I don't know what happened there at the top of the hour. You kind of hesitated a little bit. I'm sure there was something that...
It's a long story.
It was something you were supposed to do and Dan told you. And because I make this mistake like 3 or 4 times a week. And Dan is in my headphones saying, you know, nice job. You know, he's there
way
like,
to go. I'm always there for the positive reinforcement, John.
Yeah.
I make 10 mistakes a day.
That's the first thing I think of with you, positive reinforcement.
Yes. So yesterday, quickly, Arcane, yesterday, John and I connected on... You know, on text, sort of in the afternoon, because he was coming back, and he was just, you know, all about the hey, did you miss me? And you know, the whole
That's
thing. And I was
right.
like, oh yeah, John, we have missed you terribly. I don't know if anybody that I know of that you know goes away and detaches themselves on vacation from work, and then all of a sudden you're like, did you miss me? Like, you know what? I haven't really thought about you.
Yeah, I know.
I haven't given it much thought. I had other people in here during the week. I don't think about you when I'm on. Well. You know what? I have sent you pictures on vacation.
No, don't lie to the people. Every time Dan goes somewhere tropical or somewhere, like he's been to Australia. He's been to Hawaii twice in the last 2 years. He was just there over Christmas, right?
So no, I mean, this was trip number 7.
Yeah. Yeah, no, well, it's been the last two in the last 2 years. Two in the last 3 years. But Dan will always send me a picture of like, this is where I am
That's
and
nice.
You're not. You know,
yeah, that, it's usually
I'll be in the car driving my sons to a travel basketball practice. And there's Dan with like some fruity drink in his hand on a beach somewhere in Maui.
Jubes out in Maui.
Yep. Seriously.
Yes.
Yeah. Seriously. Well, like it's hard to miss you, though. It's hard to like miss you when you're gone because there's a big picture of your face right here all the time that we all have to stare at. So it's like you're never really gone.
Got a mustache on it now.
Who added the mustache?
I'm betting 10 to 1 it was Zolak. That would be my guess. I'm not really sure.
Where do you get such a big mustache?
I don't know. But, yeah,
somebody went and had that made. That's what I love. That's what I love about it. The giant fat, you know, Wallach head in the studio. But
I know.
You could probably, I don't know if you could see it on Twitch, perhaps.
Can you?
You know what you see it in the, you know, during when the NBC Sports Boston simulcast comes up?
Yeah, well, they have the cameras on.
Yep.
They have the
coming back from
on.
Commercial break.
Oh, so Arcane, there it is. There it is. For those of you who haven't seen it, they put a
Twitch.tv.
Twitch.tv/the sports hub. Anyway, Thursday edition of the Toucher and Rich program. Hour number 3 coming up. We'll talk to John Corrales, the Celtics beat writer from the Boston Sports Journal in a few minutes. But let's finish up the baseball discussion. We were talking about how, you know, baseball players and owners are meeting in Jupiter, Florida. These these 2 days are considered the big 2 days of negotiations. And my point was before we went to break that the two sides are nowhere close, and they've hammered out all the small stuff. But the competitive balance tax, which is essentially the level to which you can spend before you get taxed dollar for dollar, or at least 50 cents on the dollar, and then you go buy another level and it's dollar for dollar, and then it's 150% of it's $1.50 for every dollar you spend. Those levels have been proposed one way by the owners and another way by the players, and they're about $31 million apart for the bottom spending limit. Yeah. And I think there are only two teams that went over the spending limit last year and three teams that went to within like $3 million of it and didn't go over. So there is a definite push by the owners not to spend anymore.
Yeah.
Owners have pantsed the players the last two negotiations. Players are trying to push back a little bit and gain some ground back, but the owners have the massive advantage. They're willing, a good block of them are willing, not to have a season. It was that way during the pandemic, during the summer of 2020. There are about seven or eight owners that were willing to just give up on the season altogether,
yeah,
and take the losses. Players can't afford that, or at least the vast majority of them can't afford that. Players' salaries on average have gone down the last 4 years consecutively. I think Major League Baseball is slowly killing themselves. The bigger question, Arcand, is how many people really care? I care. I'm a massive baseball fan. I was a baseball fan first when I was a kid. Now, I'm older than a lot of people around here. So, I mean, that makes me different than a lot of people who didn't grow up with baseball the way I did. But I think the majority of fans don't care, and I think that's where the owners are failing to read the room.
Well, I don't think the owners care either. Like, that's sort of what I'm getting about.
I mean, I don't know how many fans are going to come back. That's the thing. You might lose the small audience you have left.
Yeah.
I know if they cancel this season, I'm going to do my very best not to care anymore. I'm tired of being drilled by the sport that I love. They're slowly killing it. And if they decide, you know what, screw it, we're not going to have a season, I don't know if I'm going to go back. I'm going to do my very best not to, because I'm sick and tired of all of this stuff.
In 1994, I was young, like I was 12 or 13. And I remember that when they went on strike, when that whole thing happened, I forget if it was a lockout or a strike, whatever it was, when they weren't playing, people were angry. Like, fans were angry. There was a real sort of vitriol. It was very polarizing, and there was a lot of people calling sports radio back then, yelling and screaming about who's right and who's wrong and whatever. And the owners had their side, and Donald Fehr, all those people on the union side were all, you know, having these press conferences and everything. And it was very, you know, it was like an election almost. Like, there was a lot of takes flying around, but there was a lot of passion surrounding it. Now there isn't. Now the owners have basically said, we don't care if we don't have a season. It doesn't matter to us. And that, I think, has dripped down to the fans now. The fans are like, well, if you don't care, what the hell do we care for? Like, yeah, we like the team. We like coming down from Maine and going to our one game a year or whatever. But, like, if you're not gonna have any stake in this, like, if you're not going to at least stand up for your stake and what this all is and what it's all about and how it all works, you know, for us to enjoy this product, then what the hell do we care? I mean, think about it. When's the last time you heard from John Henry? John Henry, I think, came out once during the ALCS, and that's the only time you heard from him in, like, 2 years. Like, he doesn't talk anymore. He doesn't care. He's not engaged with the fans. It's just, it doesn't matter to those guys, and I think most of them are like that.
The last thing Henry did was to buy the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they're involved with. Not involved with baseball. They're involved with other things. They're involved with building their brand. I mentioned before the break, the chairman of the board for the L.A. Dodgers just bought a second Malibu home for $30 million after it was parked next to the $16 million home he had bought previously in the same neighborhood. The owners are gushing money. And it just seems to me like you don't have a leg to stand on when you're crying poor and doing your best to cut salaries. There's more than enough money to go around. And the fact that they get 57% of the revenue, this according to Peter Gammons, 57% of the yearly generated revenue. I mean, I don't know what more they need. How many yachts, and to borrow a phrase from Wall Street, how many yachts can you water ski behind? And
good question.
In the meantime,
Henry still have that? Yeah, still have that Iroquois? Do you still have that thing?
No.
Down there, right? Down at Rose Wharf. You know what I'm talking about? He had that big boat down there.
Yes. I think
but I think he sold it, right?
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I don't know. But
Water ski behind that thing.
Yeah, but seriously, you look at Major League Baseball, and they're pricing normal fans out. At least here, I mean, say you live in Nashua, and you come down, you have a ticket package, 10 seats, you bleacher seats, and it's $50 a pop. I don't know. Do you get a break if you buy a ticket package?
Yeah.
On bleacher seats? I don't know. But ultimately...
I think you do.
All right. Say it's $40 or $50 a pop per seat, and you're spending a family of four, so that's $200 before you walk in the door, and you're spending money on gas to get down here, 45 mm-hmm. minutes, more like an hour and a half if you're coming down for a weeknight game.
Yeah.
And then you have $30 to $60 to park, depending upon whether or not it's a Yankee game. And then you have concessions. I mean, how much money is that? It's $1,000?
About $1,000, yeah.
Per game?
For the kid, yeah, sure. I mean, that's why so many people just do like one trip every year. You know, like they come down for their one game and that's it.
You're asking these people to feel bad about you. I'm sorry, I can't do it. And I'm firmly on the player's side here. And it's been argued to me that, you know, and Fred is, we've had these arguments before. Fred has proposed the argument, you know what, baseball is the only sport without a salary cap. You know, they're spending more money on salaries. You know, they have guys making $40 million. You know, Trevor Bauer made $40 million for 1 year for the Dodgers. You know, you don't have salaries like that in a lot of other sports. And that may be true, but the middle class, the majority of Major League Baseball players have lost money the last 4 years. Owners have done their best to eliminate the middle class and lower the average salary. What other sport? I mean, there aren't many where this happens.
No, everything else is going up. You know, the NBA, they have similar average annual values, like Steph Curry and some of the point guard. They're getting $40 million a year now. So it's not like baseball is the only one. But baseball, I think, is so unique because, number one, there's a lot of markets where no one cares about their baseball team, more so than I'd say in the NBA, definitely more than in the NFL. They still have a leg up on, like, the NHL.
I don't know. You go to Kansas City Royals games. You go to Miami Marlins games. They have a brand-new stadium, relatively speaking, in downtown Miami.
And there's nobody there.
Nobody goes.
Yeah. They have a club in the thing that more people.
The Clevelander, I'll be on the left field fence. Yeah, that's true.
That should tell you something right there. And that's, I mean, I know that's sort of an old joke, but like, you know, with baseball, people aren't so much concerned about, well, the players are making too much money or they're not making enough money. Fans don't care about that. Fans have never really cared about that until it starts to affect what happens on the field. If there's a lockout or a strike or something like that, then fans start taking an interest in who's making too much money and who isn't. Now, no one cares about any of it. Everyone thinks you're a rich a-hole. Like, no one's on anybody's side.
Not
I'll
really
always
connecting
side with the
with
players.
Your, not really connecting with your fan base.
There's no connection on either side. The players and the union have not reached out very well to the fan base, I don't think. They put out their statements, but they're kind of tone deaf. The owners are as tone deaf as it gets. There's really nothing to salvage at this point. You know, like, what are you even working to salvage here in terms of a connection with this fan base? It's dwindling. It's aging out. And you haven't reached out or promoted your players or really done anything that these other leagues have done in order to keep people interested.
All right, here's a tweet from a guy who listened to the show. Let baseball die and owners and players both lose. Quibbling about millions of dollars is so tone deaf with the times. See you later. I think there are a significant portion of fans that feel this way. And unless Major League Baseball gets its act together, you're going to lose a lot of people. You, including me, you're going to lose a lot of people. And there aren't many people waving the flag to watch baseball anymore. So, I mean, these next couple of days are very, very important. We'll talk about it with Chris Cotillo of Mass Live coming up at 9 o'clock. But coming up next, we'll jump back into some Celtics with John Corrales of the Boston Sports Journal. Celtics back from the All-Star break tonight. They are in Brooklyn. We'll talk to John next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy, make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Now,
that's hard on the ears.
More Tesher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, I don't care for that at all.
Thursday edition, Tetra and Rich. Boys will be back on Monday, both enjoying vacation week in separate locations. John Wallach, Christian Arkin with you. Mike Lockhart will rejoin us for the show tomorrow if we all survive Snowmageddon. We'll see how that goes. 617-779-0985 is the number to call. Celtics back in action tonight as they are in Brooklyn. Everyone comes back from the All-Star break, and John Corrales is the Celtics beat writer for BostonSportsJournal.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. John, good morning. How are you?
Hey, John.
Hi, I'm great. How you guys doing?
We're doing okay. Is this the 8 o'clock problem? Let's hope it's not the 8 o'clock problem, because if so, that's going to significantly torpedo the interview. But, John, Celtics are back from the All-Star break. We all remember what happened to them the last game before that break, where they lost to Detroit. And Arkan and I have been debating this back and forth. Is this a reason to get angry with the Celtics again? Does this mean that their true selves have reemerged, or are they more like the team that won 9 in a row before that?
I'm not that concerned about the Detroit game. I feel like that was a trap game from the beginning. Without Marcus Smart and without Robert Williams, you'd think that they probably should beat Detroit without those guys, but that really puts a real damper on what they're able to do and what makes them play well. Smart is one of the primary guys who pushes the pace and plays at a pace that Ime Udoka likes. Robert Williams is the linchpin of their defense, and him kind of lurking off the big guys and kind of being in help and blocking shots out of nowhere is a huge hindrance to the other team. And he's that lob threat. You know, that shot from Jaylen Brown that got blocked, I think if Robert Williams was there, would have been a lob, and that would have changed. Just that alone would have changed the game. So I feel like that game is an aberration, and we'll find out tonight, you know, and this weekend, if they come back and play the way they were over the 9-game stretch, then we can comfortably say it was an aberration. If they don't, then whoever said this, I'm going back.
Ultimately, well, we'll see. We're going to hang in there a little longer and see if we can do it. It's not on John's end. It's on our end. It happens in the 8 o'clock hour right around now, in fact, consistently. And it has to do with other stations in the building. But, John, my theory has been that because this team plays some of the best defense in the NBA, regardless of what offensive problems they have, and if someone's having an off shooting night, the defense will bail them out and keep them in games. And because of that, I think they will win far more than they lose. They got 20 games left. I think that they can do some serious damage here and climb their way into a 4 seed and make themselves a team that will have home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. They're going to pass some teams in front of them specifically because of their defense. And I too think the Detroit game was an aberration.
Hey, you're a little choppy here. hard for me to
understand. All right, John.
Hang on, John.
Let me ask you something, Dan. Is this going to be worth calling him back?
We can try it on another line because, yeah, some of those incoming calls that are overflowing onto our network are not our fault.
No, I understand. So, what I'm saying is another station in the building is giving something away, and this that's we get penalized? Is that what this is?
It's exactly right, yeah.
Fantastic.
So we'll Nick is going to effort him on another line right now, and right, we'll see
how that goes.
If that's the case, all right.
We'll see how that goes. But I don't know, and I was thinking about this since we argued about this a couple hours ago. I don't know if Jones has kind of creeped into your psyche a little bit. Everyone says this. Well, am I wrong?
I think you are wrong.
You sound like Jones when you put this argument together.
I think it's just the way that this season is gone.
This whole Detroit thing has thrown you for a loop, and they can only be the team they were the first 2 months of the season.
I think the 9-game win streak threw you for a loop. I think you overreacted to that. I think about as much as I overreacted to this other game.
I'm looking at the trends and seeing how good the defense has been consistently, mind you, and sure, you can't argue with that, for the last couple of months. And once the offense caught up, they were going to start winning games. But because they lost that one game right before the All-Star break, which is an obvious trap game, you think they're going to fall right back to where they were before.
Well, I didn't say that. I think that, you know, where they are right now, if they can play 500 from here on out, then they'll be a team that's probably right around where they are now. I mean, they're only a half game up on Toronto, who's a play-in team, and Toronto had that big win streak, too. Toronto won like 8-9 in a row, too, and that didn't get them all that far. The Celtics, over the course of that win streak, only leapfrogged two teams, John. They were the 8 seed, and they leapfrogged Brooklyn, who was in a free fall, and Charlotte, who fell off for some reason. I don't know why Charlotte fell off.
Well, I mean, because Charlotte always falls off. Doesn't seem to matter who's on that roster. They have some good players on that roster,
they
too.
Do. That's why it's surprising.
Who's the better team, Toronto or Boston?
I think the Celtics are better than Toronto.
Okay, who's the better team at this moment, Brooklyn or Boston?
The Celtics are better than Brooklyn, but okay. They have a better roster. I think the Celtics have a better roster than Cleveland, but Cleveland's been better than them all year.
No, I see. That's where I disagree with you. I think Cleveland, and one of the games I did was in Cleveland against the Cavaliers, a game, by the way, the Celtics won. I think that you look at how good that Cavaliers roster is. Cleveland's been bad ever since LeBron left. But if you take a look at that team right now and the way the youth of that team has come forward, Cleveland's a better team.
Better team than the Celtics.
Right now.
Darius Garland's better than Jason Tatum.
They are. No. The whole is better than the sum of the
Celtics.
I think
the Celtics have a more talented roster than the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers are playing better, and I'll agree, they're obviously better this year, but that's kind of my point, is that the Celtics have underachieved for so long. They're a mediocre team that got hot. That's what they are. That's what they've been this year. That's just the truth. I mean, I'm not, you know, like, they're a mediocre 500 team that got hot.
Okay, so
these other teams have been good all year.
Real quick, so Dan, this is a lost cause, is what you're telling me?
Apparently at this moment it is, yeah.
Okay. I mean, we're hoping this
isn't.
Hey, it's not your fault. It's the building's fault. It's the phone. It's not like
Jason Aldean's fault for having a concert.
Yeah, this is not the first time we've had to deal with this. And it's always at this time of day, correct? It's always in the 8 o'clock hour.
If somebody else is giving away tickets and, you know. Oh, Nick is waving his hand. Look at the thumbs up from Nick.
Oh, we got thumbs up.
Oh, all right. Let's try it again. John, you with us?
I'm with you.
There we go. Okay. Hey, you sound much better. Again, it's not your fault. It's our fault. We apologize. But getting back to our discussion, is the Celtics team that we have right now closer to the team that won 9 in a row or closer to the mediocre team that we saw earlier this season?
I think they're closer to the 9 in a row. And I base that on style of play. It's their defense continues to rise. Their defense continues to be elite. Their offense continues to rise because they're playing offense off of their defense. Ime Udoka yesterday at practice said the guys kind of have come to grips with this. They want to come down and play offense just like the way they always have. And now they're realizing that if they play hard defense, your offense will come and you'll score your points. And you basically get, you know, layups and points in transition and all that stuff. So if they continue to play that style, then they will continue to be that team that won 9 in a row. Anytime they get away from that style, be it via injury or ego or whatever, if they get away from that style, then they'll be the team that lost to Detroit. It is kind of up to them. So, but I think what I've seen, it's not level of competition that made them win 9 games in a row. It was the style of play. So I think
they can continue that moving forward.
John, I've heard a lot of Celtics fans say the reason why they were 500 for the year prior and most of this year was because they weren't healthy. And you heard Tatum say that in some interviews during All-Star Weekend. We're healthy now. This is what we really are. This is why we play and so forth. And I guess my question is, do you agree with that? Is perfect health necessary for this team to play at this level? And if so, how realistic is that going forward?
I think perfect health is absolutely necessary for this team. This team in particular, it's not constructed to withstand a whole lot of injuries.
How about any injuries, though? Because Smart and Williams were out, and they lost to the Pistons.
Yeah, right. Like, that's basically it. You know, and you can maybe withstand one injury to a non-Jay, right? Like, if Tatum sure. or Brown are out, then forget it. But if you lose Smart, okay. You have Derek White. It's all right. You can deal with it. You still have Robert Williams. But those two guys are sneakily extraordinarily important, Robert Williams especially. But if he goes down, okay, you got Daniel Tice. He can slide in, doesn't do everything. But you can't lose two guys, not with this team. There's no depth. Ime Udoka is playing eight guys because this is the only eight guys he can trust. The other guys, for whatever reason, you know, they're young, they're inconsistent, their confidence is shot, whatever you want to say. They're just not ready, and part of Brad Stevens' challenge is to put pieces, complementary pieces, around the rest of these guys so you can have 9, 10, 11 instead of, you know, 7 and barely 8 guys that you can play.
How would you grade, you brought up Brad Stevens, how would you grade his trades at the deadline and the moves he's made since he's taken over? I mean, I'm looking at Kemba Walker, who is being sat down for the rest of the season by the New York Knicks. I mean, what a steal that trade is.
Yeah, I think he's done a really good job, and part of the job that he's done is, you know, people want to bash the luxury tax considerations, but hey, it is what it is, and that's part of the reality. And he's done a good job of doing what the owners have wanted him to do, which is stay under the luxury tax. And within that, he's done a good job of finding guys that can help. He got Daniel Tice back for a guy that he signed for basically nothing, got rid of Enes Kanter in the process, which was, I think, a big deal. He got Josh Richardson for nothing. He was a cast off, and then used Richardson and Romeo Langford for Derek White, which is a big deal. I think Derek White is a really good acquisition. So he's done a good job around the fringes here. Just in less than a year. I mean, he only took the job last summer. So far, so good. Now there comes the next step, which is going to be a very tough step. But I think he's done a pretty good job so far.
Real quick, we were debating this as well before you came on and then broke off and then came back. What is the high end? What's the ceiling for this team? I don't see this team as a title contender, but I do see them as a team that can finish as high as fourth in this conference. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to get fooled one way or another based on what we saw right before the All-Star break, but I think the defense is sustainable. I think they're a pain in the ass to play in a 7-game series. I think this is a 4 seed in the East, and they should win at least one playoff series.
I think that's a reasonable expectation. Look, they're 34-26 with 22 games left. If they beat the bad teams remaining on their schedule, and they go 5-6 against the good teams remaining on their schedule, that's a 50-win team. They don't even have to beat all the good teams, just to basically split against the good teams and beat the bad teams. And this Celtics team that's caused all this consternation all season becomes a 50-win team, which should blow people's minds, because who would have thought that was possible a month ago? But somewhere in there is like a lesser version of a 46, 47, 48 win team. That's certainly possible. And that's good enough to get you a 4 seed. And depending on how things go, like, is that match in Philly going to gel right away? There are questions there. Cleveland, do you trust them to continue the way they've been playing? There are questions there. Chicago, what do they get? Like, there are a lot of question marks here. 4 seed, very doable, very doable. They're only a couple of games out. They could go as high as 3, because there's 3 teams ahead of Boston, all tied 2.5 games out of first. So, yeah, sure, why not? And then after that, playoffs are matchup-based.
Is one round in the playoffs, winning a round in the playoffs, enough to convince someone like, say, Jaylen Brown, who has 2 years left and who, according to Steve Bulpet, may be reassessing his options here at the end of this season? Is that enough of a turnaround from last year to convince someone like him, who didn't make the All-Star team this year, to stick around and stick it out for his contract here in Boston?
I mean, I think he is – I think that's a little overblown for Jaylen Brown. But, yeah, I think if he sees progress – I think that should be enough. Where are you going to go? I mean, he could say, trade me to the Atlanta Hawks so we could go home. I mean, that's all right. But in that case, you're going to get a haul for him and you figure it out. But I don't see Jaylen Brown as the guy that's going to force his way out. I really see him and Jason Tatum, just by all accounts, the way they've been speaking, I think they do want to figure it out here, so I don't think they're at risk of losing him this offseason.
Don't you think he'd rather be an all-star somewhere else, though, where it's like his team and he can be the guy that, it's like McGrady and Vince Carter back in the day.
He was an all-star here.
And
this season he would have been an all-star again if he didn't, hurt his hamstring and miss 2 weeks. Things could have gone differently this season.
I think he would have been an all-star if the team was better. If the team was better, I think he would have been an all-star.
Also true, but part of the reason why the team wasn't better is because he was hurt, and other guys were hurt, and there was COVID and all of that stuff. I don't think this offseason is the offseason to worry about Jaylen Brown. I think next offseason, if things keep going and they're mediocre again next season and fighting like this, next summer is the summer to worry about Jaylen Brown. I don't think this is the one.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Always good to talk to you, John.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. See you, John. He is John Corrales, Celtics beat writer for the Boston Sports Journal. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll jump back into baseball and the mess that it has become with Chris Cotillo of Mass Live. Two sides meeting again today in scenic Jupiter, Florida at Roger Dean Stadium, the spring training home. You know who plays their spring training games there?
No.
All right. The St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh.
Two teams. That's right. Two teams. The Marlins, right?
Do the Florida Marlins not play there as well?
Marlins and, you would know. You used to walk right around there.
Yeah, but
right?
When I lived there, it was the Montreal Expos.
That's right. That's a while ago.
Oh, you want to see some Canadians coming down in the bikinis, huh? The men.
I've seen it. Okay. I've seen it. Yeah, again, my father has a place near there. We used to go up to Roger Dean Stadium and check out.
That was a treat.
But, yes, so, parking's easy. It's great. It's great.
I'm not kidding.
Just picturing a bunch of Canadian guys in bikinis.
Yeah, it's February. They're like, hey, let's go to a baseball game.
Everything
hang out. Okay.
Not much to Jupiter, but it's fun to watch a baseball game there. So we will talk baseball with Chris Cotillo coming up at 9 o'clock. We have the update here with Arkin. When we return, we'll talk about football television broadcasters and the carousel that has begun here now that the NFL is in its off season. We have that coming up next. Arkin is first. It's 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's #1 sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Catcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We'll get back into baseball at 9 o'clock. We'll be joined by Chris Cotillo of Mass Live as the two sides, it seems, pointlessly try and hammer out their differences. The owners have told the players they have basically 4 days to agree to everything or they're going to start losing money. They're going to start canceling regular season games. Yep. They're not going to get this thing done in 4 days. So, or at least it doesn't appear that way. Stranger things have happened when it's kind of like, you know, a college kid studying for final exams. Magically, you know, in the last 24 hours, you start learning stuff, even though you skipped the class the entire semester.
Right.
So maybe they will.
My favorite part of all this was on Friday when they had a meeting and it lasted 15 minutes. And then they're like, but now next week.
Oh,
next
no.
Next week, we're really going to hammer
this. Oh, no, no. That was a positive thing. You know, the players, they don't want to meet. They want to get the proposal, right. Go think about it. They don't want to hammer. It's all a bunch of crap. Anyway, okay. We'll get into that at the top of the hour. And before we get to that, though, football, even when it's not happening, still makes news. Troy Aikman is leaving Fox to go to ESPN, and he will be their guy for Monday Night Football. Now, I understand Brian Griese is not exactly a household name. Who's the other guy? It was Greasy, and who else was Steve Levy?
Steve Levy and Louis Riddick.
Thank you. Yes, Louis Riddick. The two of them are very good, but they are vanilla as vanilla gets. And I understand what ESPN is doing. They're trying to get a name in there. They realize that, you know, after losing John Gruden, no one really cared about their Monday night broadcast. So now they are paying through the nose, and I think Aikman's going to be making what Tony Romo makes, like $17 million a year, to go to ESPN. And I understand the feeling on both sides. You have, you know, Aikman's like, all right, here's my chance at a payday. Fox isn't paying me nearly enough to be their number one guy. I got Tony Romo, who, you know, was quarterback on the Dallas Cowboys team that didn't win anything, and he's making a lot more money than me analyzing games.
And he's a mess these days.
And he's a mess. I understand why ESPN did it. You know, they're trying to get a name in there so people will pay attention while still remaining as vanilla gets. I mean, Aikman's not exactly a controversial character. But what it does do is set in motion a lot of strange things. Who's going to replace, you know, who's going to replace Aikman at Fox as their number one guy? Al Michaels was going to go to Amazon. He thought Aikman was going to go to Amazon to join him there. Now, that's not going to happen. Does that limit Amazon's ability to bring Al Michaels? Because even though Amazon has more money than anybody and can pay whoever they want,
right.
Al Michaels is at a point now where he can write his own ticket. And might that mean that Michaels, because Aikman went there, Michaels will turn around and go, you know what? ESPN looks really nice. Why don't I just join Aikman at ESPN if he's not going to join me in Amazon? So I think all of this is fascinating. Look, Troy Aikman is not a guy you tune in to watch. You don't tune in. Like, you tuned in Monday Night Football when Gruden was there to watch John Gruden. You don't tune in to watch Steve Levy. You sure as hell didn't tune in to watch Louis Riddick or Booger McFarland or Greasy. So, I mean, ESPN doesn't have a magnetic character, a gregarious guy. You got a guy with more credibility. But I'm not sure how all of this shakes out. The only thing that matters to me at this point is, based on the news we're getting now, where does Al Michaels go? If ESPN is smart, they will throw as much money as they can at Michaels to get him to come to their network to replace Steve Levy.
Yeah, and it would make sense. I think that Amazon's thing, if they want to get Al Michaels, that would be a big boon for them. You know, that would be a major thing.
It was like 95% done.
Yeah.
And, you know, Amazon is worth, what, 3-4 times as much as Disney is?
They're
not going to get outbid for him.
No.
But because it's Al Michaels, and money really doesn't matter to him at the age of 77, you know, you could take a few million less and go where you want to go.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I don't know where Al Michaels wants to go. I haven't the foggiest idea. I'd imagine to him, each one of these situations is kind of the same. And at 77 years old, you sort of go where you're the most comfortable and what makes the most sense for you. I will say this. Al Michaels, in terms of like a splashy hire, way up above Troy Aikman, and I like Aikman. I think whenever the Patriots get like an Aikman game, or whenever you flip, you know, you happen to have an Aikman game, you're like, oh, good, it's an Aikman game. Well, not one of these other jokers.
I don't even think that. I think, you know what? I don't even think
Aikman and Buck, you don't think
well,
that?
Well, I think it's a Buck game. I don't think it's an Aikman game. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I get that.
Buck
yeah.
is more recognizable of the two because he does so many different things for that network. Calls World Series games, right. Number one here and there. And there is a period of time where he's on a plane back and forth for World Series, NFL. I mean, he's a guy you focus on. Now, whether he's good or not is a different matter. But the point is, I never tune into an NFL game and think, oh, that's an Aikman game. I'm going to watch that. I do think that when I watch Romo, for, you know, you worry that he might fall apart, yeah. And you want to make sure you're there to see it.
Yeah, and you want to be tuned in for that. Like you just said, these guys are vanilla on Monday Night Football. They were so vanilla, they started another broadcast. You know, it was so vanilla that they got the Manning brothers together and a bunch of guests and had them fart around with each other, and more people probably watched that. We do night shows, so I never get to see either of them. Right. Like, I never heard any of the Manning cast. You know, I have very little exposure to this, except when I have, like, a day off. So I can't speak on it too much, but I will say that for Al Michaels to move and for someone to pick him up, that's a big splashy hire. Troy Aikman, not so much. Troy Aikman's sort of a steady, reliable guy that you know is not going to hurt you or lose you any viewers. But, you know, if they're just trying to find their Tony Romo, he's not Tony Romo. Like, Troy Aikman doesn't call the game the same way Tony Romo does. Romo's all about predicting the next play and sort of, you know, and these days all about just these weird non sequiturs. And Aikman's not like that. He's sort of by the book. And I think that that's fine if, you know, that's what you're into, but it's not some big grabby hire. The name is flashier than the actual
product. And that's
product.
What it comes down to. Yeah. ESPN got a guy because of name recognition, and that's great. But will you tune into more Monday night games because Aikman's there as opposed to Greasy and Riddick?
No.
No, you won't. There's no way in hell. It only matters if they can pull Al Michaels away from Amazon and get him to come. Because if you have Al Michaels calling Monday night football games with Troy Aikman, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Now, because Michaels is without a doubt the best to ever do it. So if hiring Aikman gets you to bring in Al Michaels, then it matters a lot. This move on its own means nothing. I don't think the ratings get any higher. I don't think you get any more sponsorships than you already have. I don't think you bring in any more money. As a matter of fact, you lose money because you're paying Aikman far more than you're probably paying Greasy and Riddick combined.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure I understand all of this unless it leads to the next hire. And you have Tirico, who's going to replace Al Michaels on Sunday night. Is Collinsworth staying? I lost track in all of this.
I think he is, yeah.
Okay, so it'll be Tirico and Collinsworth on Sunday night. The Monday night games are usually not good. 80% of them are horrible.
Yeah.
So you really need to make sure that you have good people to call these games to get people to pay attention. And Aikman on his own doesn't do it. Doesn't do it for me at all.
And I don't know if there's someone who would. Is there anybody out there that would, like Peyton Manning or, you know, Brady or something like that?
See,
but like,
Brady's going to be hard. If Brady ever decides, if he ever decides to do it, he's going to be horrible at it.
I would agree.
He'll be Joe Montana, who is one of the best quarterbacks ever, tried his hand at broadcasting, and I don't even think he lasted a full season. I think he lasted half a season before the executives went, nope. Not going to happen.
Brady's too positive. He's too phony positive.
Well,
he'd never rip anybody. Like, it would be late. It would be lame.
What personality does Tom Brady have?
Exactly. I mean, there's not much to it.
He's a good guy in a gosh gee willikers kind of way. He's rich beyond anyone's wildest dreams. But
if they got him drunk on a boat in Tampa before they put him on the air, that'd be
But even yeah. even drunk, I'm not sure you want. It's not the same as Tony Romo drunk. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Tony Romo drunk's a little bit different than Tom Brady drunk. I think even then, Brady will have the filters up. I don't think you could ever get... Here's a question. Could you ever get Tom Brady blasted enough where he'd let all of his guards down?
And tell you what he really thinks about Bill and all
Do
that?
Do you ever think there'd be enough alcohol to let get Tom Brady to be so wasted that you'd be willing to have a conversation with him and go, okay, what's this guy really like? What did Belichick really do to you? You know, was Kraft really on your side and the whole thing right before you left? There's not enough alcohol in the world that would get him like that.
Alcohol, no. You'd have to get him like peyote or something, you know, like have him like tripping in the desert at the Joshua tree.
And experience with that, do you?
Really peyote, no.
No? Okay. Just checking. Just checking.
But I heard that gets people talking.
Is that right? Is that what you heard?
Okay. That's what I heard.
I know nothing about this stuff.
In my DARE class back in middle school.
Yeah. Here's one. Other than Gruden, has anyone ever tuned into a game because of the announcer? That's not a thing, is it? I think other than Gruden, like you go back to the old Monday Night Football days with Howard Cosell, people tuned in to see that. You know, people, I remember when I was really young, I tuned in for Monday Night Football to see Howard Cosell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I here's the question, and this is another tweet I just got. Is ESPN throwing money away with paying the Mannings and Aikman and possibly Michaels? No, they're not throwing away money. More people are paying attention to them. More people are paying attention to ESPN for football than ever before. I mean, in the past, the only reason people paid attention to ESPN was that primetime show with Boomer, with Chris Berman. People tuned in for that, for the recap show before everyone got one. But do you think anyone tunes into ESPN to watch Monday Night Football? How many people do that? Most times it's a crap game.
Yeah.
This is ESPN's opportunity to really make a splash. And so far, the splash isn't big enough. Despite the $17 million a year they're paying Troy Aikman, they need Al Michaels too. 617-779-0985. We've got 1 hour left of the Thursday edition of the Tutcher and Rich program. We'll jump back into baseball with Chris Cotillo of Mass Live. We'll take a break. We'll have the update with Arkin, and then back into baseball here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.